Thank you. Well, today, if you look at what it says there on the screen, the Bible doesn't say that. I talked a little bit Wednesday night and told the people that were here for prayer meeting what I was going to be preaching over the next several weeks. You guys realize that we have a lot of sayings, or we have a lot of beliefs that are really thought of as being theology. One of which I gave the example. I grew up thinking that something was one of the Ten Commandments that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And it must have been the piece that when he broke the Ten Commandments, when he came down, it must have been on one of the pieces they couldn't find because it wasn't lit. But I swore it was in the Bible. My mom told me it from the time I was little. I am sure you guys have all heard it before. Cleanliness is next to what? That's not in the Bible. But according to our mamas, it should be, isn't it? I mean, my mom told us that all the time. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in the Bible. There are a lot of things like that. And part of the problem is that we as Christians actually don't know God's Word well enough to know if something's in there or not. And that's sad. That we take a song. You know, there's a country song that says, "Thank God for unanswered prayers." And for a long time, I thought that was a great, I thought, hey, that is awesome. Because I prayed for this and I prayed for that, and I'm so thankful that God didn't answer those prayers and give me what I wanted. The thing is that we have to realize is that God does answer every prayer. If we as a child of God pray, He will answer that prayer, and sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait, and then sometimes the answer is yes. But He answers every prayer of His children. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you pray to Him, it's not going to get further than the ceiling that you're sitting under. Unless you are praying to ask forgiveness of your sins, and then God hears that prayer and He answers that prayer. But He is under no obligation to answer prayers of people that do not belong to Him. Just like I am not under obligation. If one of the Barcher kids came to me and said, if Jack came to me and said, "Hey, Pastor Artie, can I have $50 to go do this?" I am under no obligation whatsoever to give him $50, am I, Nick? Why? Because he's not mine. Now, if Timothy came and said, "Hey, Dad, I need $50. Can I have it?" I tell him to go wait until payday. That's what I would have to tell him. But he's mine, so I'm under obligation. You guys get the picture. But we don't understand what it says in Scripture and what God actually says in the Bible. So we're going to look at some of those sayings that we have come to accept as being gospel truth that aren't actually in the Bible and see what the Bible actually says about that topic. Okay, so the next few weeks, that's what we're going to be doing. Well, today, we're going to be looking at this. The Bible doesn't say that. God helps those that help themselves. How many have ever heard that before? We hear it all the time. I guarantee you, you've even heard it from the pulpit. But the Bible actually does not say that. But we're going to look and see what the Bible does say. Okay? So if you had turned to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 25 through 33. And as you turn there, if you'd please stand as we read this. In my Bible, it's actually got the little heading that said, "The Cure for Anxiety," on this passage. And I have preached from this before, but in a different context. So let's look at these verses. For this is the reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is it not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let's pray. Again, Lord Jesus, we come to you, thanking you for what you share in your word. Dear Lord, allow us to learn your word so that we know what is in it and what isn't. And it is in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. One thing that we have to understand is that our modern society puts an emphasis on self-sufficiency. In fact, it almost idolizes it. That if we want something, it is up to ourselves to get it. If you have a dream, only you can succeed in getting that dream. If you work hard enough, you will accomplish everything that you desire. In fact, it is everyone needs to take care of themselves. First, focus on yourself and your needs before you do anybody else's. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. It says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depends the whole law and the prophets." Here is Jesus answering the question, what's the greatest command? The first one is what? Love God. The second is what? Love your neighbor. Love others. Where in there does it say anything about you first? Does it say that? No. It says love others as you love yourself. Now let me unpack that a little bit. Is there anybody here that wants something bad for yourself? When you leave here, what do you want to do? Eat. I'm right there with you. Do what? Drive safely. Make sure you're safe. Why? Because we do love ourselves. We want to be safe. We want to be fed. What does he say? What is Jesus saying here? That we should want the same thing for other people first before we do ourselves. Those are the two commandments. The two greatest commandments. Love God first with everything you've got, and then love other people as you love yourself. making sure that their needs are met. Put them before yourself. But that goes against what our society says. God's plan for our lives is the exact opposite of what it's taught in society and how what society tells us. According to verse 33 of our focus passage today, if we focus on the kingdom first, what does it say? All these things will be added to you. Who's going to take care of it? Us? No, God will take care of it. He will take care of us if we focus on Him first. And following Jesus is about living a selfless life. Not selfish life, but selfless life. That you are willing to sacrifice things that you want so that others may have what they need. We sometimes think that we have to have the newest. I'm bad. My cell phone, 2-year contract. And you know the first thing I do when that contract's up? Do the exact same thing all the rest of you guys do. Well, let me say rephrase that. Those of you that are under the age of whatever, you're going to go get the newest cell phone because you just have to have it. And Lord help you if you're under the age of 20. You want it before it's even done being paid for. We want it because we want it. But that's not what God says. He doesn't say that He will that if we take care of ourselves, God will help us. I hate to break it to you, but that's not what it says at all. And then seeking God should be our first priority. Success Magazine published an article on October 2nd of 2019. This article was entitled Setting Priorities. And in this article, the author laid out 3 mistakes that people make in setting priorities in their lives. The first mistake is this: they don't think about it. Which means is basically they don't make a conscious effort to set their priorities. They set a priority without giving it any thought, without giving it any effort, and think it's going to change their life. And they fail because they don't think about it. They don't put a conscious effort into setting that priority. Look at what it says in Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When Joshua said these words, what he was telling the children of Israel is you think about where you have been, you think about what you've seen, and you think about what God has done for you and where He has brought you, and then you decide for yourself who you're going to serve. And then he continues and says, but for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. He set that priority in front of the entire thing, but he put thought into it before he did it. And that's what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to think about setting the priority and make a conscious effort. Let's face it, we are faced with all kinds of things every day, aren't we? When you get up in the morning, I know when I get up in the morning, what I'm thinking about is getting the kids ready to go to school, making sure they are up and they're out the door. That Timothy put deodorant on and brushed his teeth, that his matching socks on, that Faith is not wearing something that is too revealing, that's not going to get me a call from the principal telling me to come get her so she can change clothes. Let's face it, that's facts of life, isn't it? As a parent, that's what we think about. I think about, is there enough money in the bank to pay the bills? Is that check I wrote to the church going to come back and be returned because there wasn't money in the bank account? That's life, isn't it? Let's face it, that's life. Every day we have things that are wanting our attention. And every day when we wake up, we have to make a conscious, exerted effort to put God first. Because Satan's going to throw everything he can at us to get us distracted so that we are not focused on what we need to be focused on. And isn't it incredible that if we start our day off by making that choice to serve God and put Him first in our life, that Satan throws so much stuff at us that day. But you know, isn't it amazing? Even more amazing that those problems that Satan throws at us to try to trip us up just don't seem as big or insurmountable as they would if we hadn't have chose to serve God and put God first that day. Because my God's bigger. My God's stronger. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? But it takes a conscious effort. Paul says, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable act of service. A living sacrifice, daily, presenting ourselves to God. It's because there's so many things that wants to get a hold of us and get our attention. And then the second mistake that they make is they make it too complicated. You know, my wife is sitting up here interpreting right now, and I'm going to say something that's probably going to get me yelled at when I get home. It won't be the first, and it's definitely not going to be the last. But you know something? My mind doesn't work the same way as her mind does. When she asks me a question, and I answer that question, there is no hit. When I say yes or no, guess what I mean? Yes or no. There is no interpretation needed. There is no hidden messages. It is not complicated. But when I ask her a question, I've got to figure out what she means. Because if I say, hey, where do you want to go eat? I don't know. You pick. That's a loaded answer right there. Because if I pick somewhere, guess what? I don't want to eat there. Am I lying, Ginger? No, I'm not lying. That's no. Okay? We make things too complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. The truth is, you can really only have one or two priorities. If you have a priority and you don't do it, guess what? It's not a priority. We set a whole long list of priorities and we prioritize our priorities, don't we? And we end up making it really too complicated, and what happens? Just like New Year's resolutions. We have this long line of New Year's resolutions, and by most of the time, by January 2nd, guess what's happened to that resolution list? It's already out the door. You've wadded it up and thrown it away because it's too complicated. You can't keep up with it. But look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2. This is Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and he says this, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, is that simple? Here is Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, and he's telling this church, all I'm concerned with is number one, Jesus and him crucified. That's it. I didn't come to you to talk about elaborate speeches and convincing arguments. I came to talk about Jesus and Jesus crucified, and that's the only two things I came to talk about. What we tell children at ABC and VBS, I got my letters mixed up, Vacation Bible School, is that salvation is as easy as ABC. Admit, believe, and confess. That's it. Is that complicated? But we make it complicated. We try to say that you've got to do this and this and this. And that's not, the gospel is as simple as it can possibly be. That's the problem sometimes, is that people think that it can't be that simple. Yes, it is. God loved you so much that he sent his son and he died on the cross to pay the price that you could not pay. And all we have to do is believe and ask. And that's it. Simple. What do they say? Easy peasy. That's it. It does not have to be complicated, but we want to make our things complicated. We do, and so we fail. And the third mistake that people make is they don't live their priorities. They don't live them. What you actually do, how you live your life, reveals your actual priorities. Ouch, if you honestly think about that. What does the Bible say, Matthew 6:21? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You may say that your priority is this, but what you're showing people is important in your life, what your priority is over here. Therefore, you fail, because what you say is your priority is really not your priority. I can't say that my marriage is a priority in my life if I do not spend time with my wife or my husband. I can't say my family is a priority when I don't spend time with my family. I can't say that God and church and his kingdom are a priority when all my time is spent everywhere else. You get the picture? We have to live out our priorities, because your life and the way you live will show people what is important to you. And then we can't do anything to help ourselves. God helps those that help themselves. We can't do anything to help ourselves except to accept the gracious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. That is the only thing that we can do to help ourselves. I know where that thought came from. God helps those that help themselves. That we are not owed anything. We have this thought today. Kids nowadays, they don't think they need to work for anything. That it is owed to them. There is a thought that says that whatever you want, if you don't get it, then you're not loved. That if you want something and that you don't get it, then you're hated. And they don't care about you. That thought just didn't come. It's not something new. That thought is human nature. And it's been going on for millennia. We don't want to wait. We want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And a lot of times, that's the problem that people have with God. Because I've already said that he answers prayers in three ways. Yes, no, or wait. We don't like waiting. I don't even like waiting on the microwave to cook my dinner in a minute. I sit there watching. Oh, come on, go faster. How come the seconds are so slow? But we can't do anything to help ourselves. Can we fix ourselves? No. Can we save ourselves? No. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. Why? So that no one may boast. If we could do something, if our salvation was based on what we could do, who could take credit for it? Us. It's not what God did, but it's what we did. And God said, uh-uh. You remember the story of Gideon? Where they were going against this vast army and God kept telling them, got too many people. Gideon's like, are you crazy, God? Look out there. You can't even count how many people. And you're telling me that my 1,000 or so men are too many? Not only did he tell him that he had too many people the first time, he told them a couple more times. He got down to where they only had 300 men. And Gideon's like, what in the world? God, you've got to have lost your mind. And God tells him what? When you win, when you defeat this army, I want everybody in the land to know that God did this. I want to get you to a point where there is no physical way that you could accomplish what I've set before you. But then when it's done, you will know that God did it, and everybody around will know that God did it. Salvation is the same way. I didn't change my life, but God changed it through Jesus Christ, and Him coming into my life and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life is what changed me. It's what changes you. There is nothing that we can do to help ourselves. The best news ever, a song by Mercy Me, says this. Some say don't give up. And hope that your good is good enough. Now listen to these words. Head down, keep on working. If you could earn it, you deserve it. Some say push on through. After all, it's the least that you can do. But don't buy what they're selling. It couldn't be farther from the truth. Some say don't ask for help. God helps those who help themselves. Press on. Get it right. Otherwise, get left behind. Some say He's keeping score. So try hard, then try a little more. Hold up. If this were true, explain to me what the cross is for. What if I were the one to tell you that the fight's already been won? Well, I think your day's about to get better. What if I were the one to tell you that the work's already been done? It's not good news. It's the best news ever. Church, we can't do anything to help ourselves. Not a single thing. And the good news is this, is that we don't have to. Because God's already done it through the blood of Jesus Christ. God helps those that helps themselves. Not anything further from the truth. God helps those that can't help themselves and depend on Him. We cannot. We cannot help ourselves. Yes, we are responsible for what we do. And no one owes us anything. And life is hard. School is hard. Growing up is hard. Working with people, dealing with people is hard. But all of those, God and His Holy Spirit can make it bearable. And not only bearable, but He can change everything. So you look forward to being around people. You look forward to doing the things that you used to hate doing because God can help us. In church right now, there's somebody sitting in this auditorium right now that needs to know Jesus Christ. You need to know the peace that only comes through knowing Him. Don't leave here today without knowing for sure that you've experienced the ABCs for yourself. That you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. There's somebody here that's hurting through something that's going on in their life. You may not have any control over it all. In fact, we don't have any control over it. But God is there to give you the peace to get through it, the strength to endure it. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. And there may be somebody in here that's looking for a place to worship, a home, a family to be part of. Today is your chance to take care of that. As we sing, this is your chance to come and do business with God.
If you'll stand and turn to page 321, the Savior is waiting, page 321. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing.